I want to put something in front of you today which I think is the absolute core. The absolute core of living a Christian life. Aren't you glad you showed up today? You didn't go to the beach or somewhere like that. Let me approach it this way. How would you know that you're actually growing in the Christian life? How would you know your spiritual life is growing? Now, you don't have to answer unless you're really dying to. Okay, I'll tell you. It's like this. You put yourself into the position to be completely and continuously transformed in every area of your life. You put yourself in the position to be completely and continuously transformed in every area of your life. That's how you know you're spiritually growing, because you want to go there. You know, you have some idea of what it will cost, you have some idea of what it may take, and you decide intentionally to go there. It is that decision which is the mark of spiritual growth. It's not memorizing the Bible, the four spiritual laws, this, that, or the other thing, knowing when to stand or sit during worship. It's none of that. Those are excellent things, by the way, but those are not signs of spiritual growth. It is where you intentionally decide to put yourself into the position to be continually and completely transformed into the likeness of Jesus. That's what it is. So, I want to give you a little bit of relief here about this, because that's very, very heavy. What is relieving is that it's continuous. You can continuously decide to keep growing. And, you know, Jesus is infinite. He's Lord of everything, God of all. He never reached the end of them. So, logically, by extension, it would be continuous, never ending. That means the relieving part of that is you don't have to be completely transformed right now. It's continuous as well as complete, and the completion will come later. But now it begins. And when you put yourself in that position to desire that transformation, and you take whatever step you take, wherever Jesus leads you, the next step, that's the sign of spiritual growth. That your spiritual life is deepening. That you are growing as a Christian. Or whatever phrase you desire to use that. Okay, now how in the world does that work, I think, is the question that I read out the look on your faces. So how do you do that? And that's what I'm going to talk to you about today. I want to underline how that works, because there's a very specific process. Well, maybe it's not that specific, but there's a process for which this works. And when you follow that, when you put yourself in that position, when you get to that place, then you are able to take that step of growth. You're able for your spiritual life to deepen. And you become who you were created to be. The purpose for which you were born becomes clearer and clearer, and you have the ability to begin pursuing it. All those kinds of things start falling into place. And it is basically imitation is the process of deepening your spiritual life. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, being raised in America and all that, I prefer to be unique and individual and innovative and all that. I don't want to be imitating anybody. And you probably don't either. That's just the Western mindset. And we've become individualistic, and our family system has constricted so much so that extended families are not as wide and rich and powerful as they used to be and all that. You just take up your what you want to do, and you pursue it. You pursue your dreams. You You get a Kickstarter going and try to fund it, you know, whatever. But it's usually individual. However, we also value belonging to somebody, some group as well. So we want to be unique individuals who belong to a group. And that's where we are. And what Jesus asks us to do, which is this imitation, begins to cut across that a little bit. However, it's still natural, I believe. So let me give you an example of what I mean. When I was a little kid, my dad worked for a company. I forget what it was. Didn't work for him very long, but long enough one year that we got to go to the company picnic. So there we are at the company picnic. Maybe I'm six, maybe I'm seven. I don't know. I don't remember, but I remember the scene. And there was a softball game that came up, and I'm watching it, and the adults are playing softball. My dad gets up, and he takes a swing, and how would you describe it? Smokes that ball. It just went, it flew. It went into orbit. But, well, it's easily made it around the base. It was a home run. So every time in every game that I was up after that, to this day, I will try to do the same thing. I will try to hit it just the way I saw my dad hit it that day. And as I think about that, there was within me a desire to imitate, which is different from mimicking. You have to mimic some people to learn some things. But imitating, what I got as I watched that was a desire to do the same thing. You could, a taste to just go past the fences. A real hard thing to just smoke the ball like that every time. I didn't know the first thing about timing, the weight of the bat, any of that. You know, when the ball's coming to you, what's happening, nothing, stance. I didn't know any of that. I just got that desire. And imitating, putting yourself in the position to be continuously and completely transformed into the likeness of Jesus, is imitating his desire. It's imitating his desire. Because I'm not going 40 days out into the desert. I'm telling you that right now. You know, just be tempted by the devil. I'm not deciding to do that. As I mentioned before, moving here from Phoenix, 40 minutes in the desert is something I don't want to do. I don't want to mimic those things. I want the desire of Jesus. And I want to imitate that. Well, how do you do that is the next question you're probably asking. Paul's writing to the Thessalonians today. We read that. Very interesting couple of letters in the New Testament. And he says, you became imitators of me and therefore, actually imitators of us and therefore Christ. Eugene Peterson paraphrases that this way. You took up our style of life and by doing so imitated the master. You learn how to imitate the desires, even the beliefs of Jesus, by catching it from somebody else, by imitating somebody else that way, imitating that core of your heart. That's where you begin following Jesus, when somebody else opens that door for you. When somebody else comes up to the plate and hits the ball in a certain way and you want to hit it that way for the rest of your life. That's how that works. There's no rules for that. There's no qualifying for that. There's no hoops to jump through so that you can imitate Jesus. You're just there. And you catch it. And it doesn't matter what you've done or how you've been. or what you thought, or who you yelled at. Tell me when to stop, okay? None of that matters. It's just that he is opening his life to you so that you can catch those desires, those motivations, that worldview, everything about that. That's how it works. Now, that is also how you would live. Not only as someone who is imitating others, but also one who is imitated. Thank you for not getting up and leaving when I said that. Your life as someone who follows Jesus is one to be imitated. Now, if you prefer, you can use the category of living a questionable life. That also works. You would live a life that's questionable. In other words, people would start asking you, well, why did you do that? Or why did I saw that happen to you. Why did that go on like that? And then you did this. What was that? In other words, people start wanting to imitate Jesus because they see the way you follow Jesus when there's affliction or sickness or disaster or difficulty or conflict or success, or you hit the lottery, or you inherited a windfall, or everything went well, or whatever it is. Whatever happened in your life, the way you follow Jesus raises questions. That's what you want. And the question is, what is it with you doing that in this situation? And then your life becomes one that can be imitated. Very powerful. Very powerful. Because when you begin imitating Jesus, that's lifting him up. You encourage the other people who are here around you at St. Francis when that goes on. A couple of weeks ago, I shared with you a bit about my own personal worship practice and some of the things that I do to prepare for Sunday. And just to remind you, one of them is when I prepare to come to rehearsal, I make sure that I know the song before before showing up, how it sounds, how you play it, all the technical areas, so that I'm ready for rehearsal. And I can follow how Sonny directs us in rehearsal. But there's also that other level that you may recall I shared with you. I need to make sure that with that song, I have worshiped with that song myself before I come here. And so when I'm sitting down, I get the guitar out, bring up the music, start playing it, make sure I can play through, and then I play through it again. And I sing it to Jesus. So that when I'm here with you, I can sing it to Jesus. And then when you are here together and we're all together and I am in that position with the other members of the band, you can follow my example of wanting to connect with Jesus that way. You can imitate my desire to worship him. This is what I want. Now, just so you know, this is an interesting aside because you didn't go to the shore today, so I'm going to share this with you as an interesting aside. There's a difference between worship leaders and a lead worshiper. Worship leaders make sure that you can catch the tune and sing along. They're leading you in the singing. A lead worshiper is opening up the desire to sacrifice to Jesus the praise and worship that's flowing out of your heart. They are The lead worshiper leads the worship directed to him. The worship leader makes sure you can sing the song. It's another example of imitation as the core of the Christian life. Very powerful. Very powerful. It's how you proceed. Well, let's go a little further. Just a little deeper. If you follow Jesus, there will be trouble. He did say, you will have trials in this life. It's not that you start following Jesus, you come to St. Francis, you join or whatever, and your life gets easy. Isn't that right? You're doing it. So, anybody's life get easier because they... No, okay, that's what I thought. That's what Jesus promised. That's the way that goes. It's not that it just happens. You will have trial. And Jesus says, but take courage, I have overcome the world. So you follow after him in the middle of trial, and people catch that, and we encourage each other with that. See, that will happen. It's not a matter of, well, in the possibility that that happens, you can have a Christian response. I would just count on it right now. I'd count on something happening before the end of the day. Maybe even before lunch. That means it would be here, but, you know, what are you going to do? It's how you're following Jesus. And you're imitating those who've gone through that difficulty in that manner. All right. Let me put one other item before you about imitation. And we're going to look at this a little more deeply next week. It is, I believe, impossible to imitate only one person and follow Jesus. You notice in the scripture reading today from 1 Thessalonians, Paul says, and you imitated us. Well, it wasn't just him. It was a group. There was a fellowship in which imitation was going on. There was a lifestyle that they shared, and that lifestyle was chasing after Jesus, wanting more of him, trying to figure out what it is to follow him together. Because together we see more of him than we do otherwise. And that is just powerfully important. Powerfully important. When somebody starts noticing your life and the way you go through your life, and they begin to see there's something about it that has a quality that makes them curious, you've got that questionable life going, they might catch something of how you love Jesus and you just want to connect him all the time. But that will go so far. And then other people will need to come into their life who are also following Jesus so they will see the fullness of Jesus. Now, if you think one of the things I'm telling you is that you can't just look at me because I'm the vicar of St. Francis and follow Jesus, you think I'm telling you can't do that and get the fullness of what you need, you're absolutely correct. That is specifically what I'm telling you. You can't look at any one person and get that. It's all of us together. All of us together. So we see not only what you see with me, but what you see in each other. You begin imitating the desire to know Jesus, to follow him, and imitating that, running after that desire. And we're going to look at that more fully next week, because in the next chapter of 1 Thessalonians, Paul says, you, the whole church in Thessalonica, began imitating the churches in Judea. A church can imitate a church. And there's something about that that is extremely powerful, where we begin to see more and more of the one that we serve and follow. And we're able to follow him more deeply and more completely. Now, I think all of this really weaves together so that we can stand together in a way in which we build each other up. And even if your part, say, in St. Francis is, God bless you. Yeah. Even if your part in St. Francis is small, and maybe you can only come every so often and you have a little thing that you do. Your part is as significant as the one who carries the most responsibility. And it's imitating each other the way we follow Christ, which helps us encourage one another, build one another up, see Jesus more completely, and follow him with all of our heart and mind and soul and strength. So here's the challenge I'm going to leave with you today. Is the Lord right now challenging you about a particular manner of following him? Is there something that he brings to mind right at this moment where he's saying, I'd like you to do this? You're saying, here I am, I'm Jesus, I'm talking to you. I do this, and I want you to do it too. Is there something like that? That's great if there is. So the next question, the challenge is, who will you follow? Who will you imitate to do that? He'll bring somebody to mind. That's the way it works. I mean, remember, when I was a little kid, I just didn't go out to a baseball field and hope that a pitcher shows up and then try to swing for the fence. I imitated somebody. If you have just even the slightest more desire this morning to put yourself into the position to be completely and continuously transformed into the likeness of Christ, who is he giving you to imitate for that next step? It'll come to mind. Don't stalk that person. Just watch them and see what they do. You'll start getting thirsty like they're thirsty for what Jesus gives them. Let's stand.